This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our shortcomings and our sins, and to aid us and to give us the ability and the strength that we worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped, whether in Ramadan or after Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let's begin by saying that the greatest sacrifice you'll ever make in life is the effort you put towards understanding and implementing the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that eventually you end up experiencing the guidance and the light within this Quran. You know, every time we begin reading the Quran, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and then we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Every time before we begin reading the Quran, we say the word Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is reminding you and I that this is where we're going to find Allah's mercy. This is where we're going to find Allah's guidance, and we're going to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light and the path that He has set up for us in our life. This Quran, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it was revealed in this blessed month of Ramadan, and we call it Al-Quran Al-Kareem. We call it Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Al-Kareem means the generous. You know, this is a generous Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal, He described it as full of wisdom as well. Wal-Quran Al-Hakim. And you know, when you visit someone generous, if you go to someone, a generous person's house, what happens? He showers you with blessings and with whatever it is that he has of gifts and luxuries and so on. This is what a generous person does. And this is the same thing with our relationship in the Quran. My brothers and sisters in Islam, that every time we open this Quran, we're going to see Allah's generosity in it. This is why it's called Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Every time we open this book, we're going to see Allah Azza wa Jal's generosity in it. Every single ayah. It is impossible for someone to open the Quran and read something of it and leave empty-handed. It is impossible. When you've opened your heart and you've opened your mind and you've opened your eyes and you're willing to understand the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you come onto Allah Azza wa Jal's book with full sincerity and with full humbleness towards this Quran, most definitely, once you finish whatever you're reading of that day, of that sitting, you're going to come out with incredible meaning, with incredible guidance, with light that is going to lighten up the dark path that is ahead of you, and it is going to clear up the fog that has, you know, collected and gathered in front of you during in this worldly life. For this is exactly why it was called Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Allah's generosity is found in this book. The guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us is Allah Azza wa Jal's generosity upon us. Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, in the first ayat that He revealed of the Quran, He said, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaq. Then He said, Iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram. Allahu Akbar. The name of Allah Azza wa Jal, al-akram, was from the very first names of Allah Azza wa Jal that mankind knew about. That Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught, Ismullah al-Akram, Allah Azza wa Jal's name al-Akram, the most generous. And do you see the tie and the link here? Iqra' wa rabbuka al-Akram, read, and Allah is the most generous. In other words, there's a direct relationship between the generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal and us reading the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the more you read of Allah Azza wa Jal's word, the more you ponder over the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you will see from Al-Akram, the more you'll see from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. For my brothers and sisters in Islam, let us begin tonight, let us begin today's lesson with qawlihi ta'ala from Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. Allahu Akbar, these are ayat that will shake any heart. Any person that is willing to understand the word of Allah, any person that is willing to understand what relationship a human being is supposed to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the ayat for this such occasion, for this endeavor of life, for this goal and purpose in life, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What better ayat to do with today bi-ithnillahi ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf is an incredible surah in the Quran. It is a Meccan surah. It was revealed in the end years of the Meccan period, or the Meccan life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end, He speaks a lot about the story of Musa alayhi salam. Him alongside with Bani Israel and with Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun and what happened. But we want to specify and specifically focus on these words here, in where Allah azza wa jal discusses and describes to us the grand meeting and the noble occasion that happened in the life of Musa alayhi salam. In fact, in the life and in the history of any of Allah azza wa jal's creation. And that is the moment in which Musa alayhi salam had that opportunity to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ayah here, we're going to come to it and explain it, and we want to dive in its meanings, and we just want to sit back and relax and understand Allah azza wa jal's word and become inspired by this word, that in hope, Allahu alam, in hope that probably towards the end of this lesson it triggers and it sparks something in our heart concerning our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're able to develop that strongly and understand what it means to have a true relationship with Allah azza wa jal. But before this ayah, before Allah azza wa jal describes and tells us how He spoke to Musa alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal said before this, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. So the story is this, that Musa alayhi salam, now finally he has seen Fir'aun and the army of Fir'aun perish. They have died at the sea now. Now Musa alayhi salam has left Egypt and he's on the other side of the ocean. He's on the other side of this river, of this sea. And he's with Bani Israel. So now they are walking. And as they're walking, Bani Israel, they had told Musa alayhi salam had promised Bani Israel that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us, when Allah azza wa jal saves us from Fir'aun, that I am going to go to Allah azza wa jal and get you a book that will teach you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you people. This is what Musa alayhi salam had promised the people. So after they were saved from Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam began to walk until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via an angel, He commanded Musa alayhi salam to fast for 30 days. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً. Allahu Akbar. So Musa alayhi salam began to observe fasting for 30 days. And ulama rahimahumullah, they say these are the 30 days of Dhul Qi'dah. And some said these are the 30 days of Ramadan. Understand, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand how important fasting Ramadan prepares a believer for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam began to fast these 30 days. Allah azza wa jal referred to them as 30 nights. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً. Why? Because when we compare the day and the night, which one is more virtuous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that the night is much more virtuous to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the day? Because the night is a time of sleep. The only person that is going to wake up and worship Allah during this time is someone who is sincere and serious about his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal highlights in these ayat the word al-layl. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً. Allahu Akbar. So when 30 nights went by, in where Musa alayhi salam was fasting for Allah azza wa jal's sake, he's getting prepared, he's getting ready to meet Allah. Allah wants to speak to him directly. Allahu Akbar. Look at the preparation. Look at the preparation the believer is supposed to do if he's serious about meeting Allah and speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, after 30 days had went by, Musa alayhi salam took a siwak, and he changed the breath of his mouth with a siwak. And now he was prepared to go to the mountain where Allah was going to speak to him. However, the angels came to him and they said to him, why did you change the breath of your mouth with a siwak? That didn't you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the breath of the fasting person? And it is much more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk. This is the best kind of perfume on earth, musk. Yet the bare breath of the fasting person is much more beloved to Allah azza wa jal. So the angels commanded him and they said to him, your Lord has said fast another 10 days. وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. And we added on top of the 30 days he fasted another 10 days, Allahu Akbar, so that the breath can come back to the way it was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to meet us the way we are. He wants to meet you the way you are, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. As a result, 30 plus 10 equals to 40 nights all up. Musa alayhi salam observed fasting in 40 days at this moment in order to prepare himself to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah after this, he begins to explain what happened. Allah azza wa jal, he says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا. Now is the time, 40 days had went by. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him appointment, has given him a time to come to the mountain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى. When Musa alayhi salam arrived to our miqat, لِمِيقَاتِنَا, at our appointed time. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there's something very, very important here that we're supposed to focus on and seek inspiration from this word, لِمِيقَاتِنَا. Allahu Akbar, لِمِيقَاتِنَا. Al-miqat, it comes from the word waqt. Waqt means time. Miqat means an appointed time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam an appointed time, a fixed time. You should be on the mountain on the day of An-Nahr, which is the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. That's the day he's supposed to be on the mountain. Musa alayhi salam, Allah says, جَاءَ. He arrived on time. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. And what was the result? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. Allahu Akbar. You know what we learn from this, my brothers and sisters in Islam? That when we are on time in the worship of Allah azza wa jal, we are in a position for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to us. We're in a position for us to speak to Allah, and Allah azza wa jal respond to our dua, and Allah azza wa jal respond to our request and fulfill our needs. Allahu Akbar. This is the meaning, the secret meaning in لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. لِمِيقَاتِنَا. You have to come to the appointments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the question, my brothers and sisters in Islam. How have you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you coming lazy to Allah azza wa jal? Are you coming delayed to Allah azza wa jal? When it's time for salat, this is the grand meeting you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life at least 5 times a day. This meeting of Allah, are you coming on time or not? Musa alayhi salam came on time. Ja'a Musa limiqatina. Are you, my brother and sister in Islam, coming on time in your worships when zakat al-mal is supposed to be paid? Are you paying it on time? When you're able to perform al-hajj, are you performing it on time? When you hear Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, are you dropping everything and coming on time to as-salat? Are you obeying Allah Azza wa Jal the way He deserves to be obeyed? Because if you do so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua. And so this is why we learn from this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first priority in life. Obey Allah Azza wa Jal and your dua has a better chance of being accepted. Obey Allah first, then request what you want from Him, and Allah Azza wa Jal gives you your request. This is very important, that we obey Allah Azza wa Jal in order for our dua to be accepted. So many people would complain, I make dua, and I've made dua, and I keep making dua, and nothing has changed in my life. It is all the same. Well, the question is, how early are you? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to His obedience, how early are you? You come early or you show up late? Or you leave the worship altogether? We're saying that the one who comes late doesn't deserve for his dua to be answered by Allah azza wa jal. Imagine the one who doesn't come at all, the one who doesn't fulfill Allah's obligations at all. And let me give you this hadith that will give you this understanding that in order for your dua to be accepted, which is وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ, the كَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ part in which Allah Azza wa Jal begins to answer this servant and speak to him. In order for that to happen, let me share this hadith with you that teaches you, in order for this to happen, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be first and foremost. In this hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرْ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب لذلك. Listen to this hadith. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives us an example. He says to the Sahaba, picture a man who has had a long travel. He's come, or he's in a long travel. Ash'atha aghbar. So you can imagine a traveler. And his hair is disheveled. It's all over the place. Aghbar, he is dirty and dusty. That's natural for someone that is traveling on his camel or on his feet. He's going to no doubt be dirty and disheveled hair and dust all over the place. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, imagine such a person. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He raises his hands to the sky. يَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ. And he's making يَا رَبِّ, he's making a dua. You can imagine such a person is so emotional. Perhaps he's crying as well. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And he's saying, يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ. But you know what? Such a person, his dua is not accepted. Allahu Akbar. You ask why? This person has gathered all the conditions of an accepted dua. He's a traveler. His hair is disheveled and he's all dusty, which implies that he's humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has his hands raised to the sky. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah is shy from rejecting a person's dua when he raises his hands up towards him. Imagine this. So this person so far has done three things that make a dua become even more accepted. And on top of this, he's saying, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. He's calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the most powerful names of Allah azza wa jal. Wallahi, if you looked at such a person, you will say, Allahu Akbar. This is the peak of humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which such a person's dua must be accepted by Allah. But to your surprise, to our surprise, such a person, his dua is not answered. You know why? Listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. He says, however, that's good. He came up with all these conditions of an accepted dua. But the problem was this. مطعمه حرام. His provision is haram. He's consuming what's haram. And this implies that his income is haram. If his income, his money is haram, then everything he's going to buy, even if it's halal products, is the consumption of haram, because the income was haram. And anything that is haram, whatever comes after it also takes the same ruling of it being haram. مَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ. And what he drinks is haram. In other words, this person doesn't obey Allah in what Allah told him to eat. And he does not obey Allah in what Allah Azza wa Jal told him to drink. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. And his clothing is haram. In other words, this person is not obeying Allah in what he is supposed to dress and wear. You know, there's a specific dress code for believing men. And there's a specific dress code for believing women. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. And such a person is nurtured upon haram. Most of the things he owns and does in life is all haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How is it that Allah is going to answer him? How is Allah going to answer him? My brothers and sisters in Islam, the idea is this. You know, now in light of this hadith, we understand the foolishness of those who say, appearance, outside appearance doesn't matter. As long as a person has a heart of gold, as long as a person's heart is sincere, the only thing that matters is the heart. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that's wrong. It is wrong to think like this. Because if the inside was clean and honest and sincere, then the physical and the outwards appearance would also be clean. And it would be following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law and command. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً. That there is a lump of flesh inside of a person, and that is the heart. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ, if it was to be honest and sincere and it was in perfect shape and condition, natural consequence of that and a sign of this would be that the outside appearance of a person is also clean and steadfast. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ And if the heart, if this lump of flesh, the heart, was corrupt on the inside, then you can't see it. We can't open our heart to see inside if it's corrupt or if it's clean. What's the sign of it being corrupt? That the outside body would also be corrupt as well. SubhanAllah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is why we understand from this hadith that outside appearance is just as important as keeping the heart clean. A sign of a clean heart is that the outside appearance of a person is also following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an incredible hadith. Now we go back to the ayah, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا When Musa alayhi salam finally arrived on the appointed time, Allah azza wa jal spoke to him. You want Allah azza wa jal to answer your dua? Have you come to the miqat of Allah? Have you come to the appointed times of Allah? Are you coming to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then you coming to Allah's command shouldn't be with laziness. Allah azza wa jal used the word walamma ja'a Musa. The word ja'a, it implies strength, it implies power, it implies will and courage. It implies that Musa alayhi salam loved to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to meet him. He had this burning, engulfing desire within him to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Musa alayhi salam knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to him unless he obeys Allah's command. This is why he fasted the 40 days that Allah commanded him. This is why he was on the mountain on time. Yet my brothers and sisters in Islam, you're supposed to be on time in your worship so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills your request and that which you want in this worldly life. Allahu Akbar. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ Masha Allah. He said, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ He's requesting that he wants to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the advice is that a person is supposed to rush in making a tawbah and reconciling his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then adhering to Allah azza wa jal's commandments. And then you'll feel a different relationship with your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wear the hijab if you still haven't worn the hijab. Don't sit there and say, no, 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 it's all about the heart. If the heart is clean, if the heart is good, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept. But the sign of a clean heart is that the outside appearance also adheres to Allah's commands. This is very important. And then my brothers and sisters in Islam, pray on time. Come to the miqat of Allah with strength. Pray on time, fast on time. Ramadan, we all fast on time. And this fasting on time is teaching us that why are you differentiating between worshipping Allah via the act of fasting and as-salat? Isn't it all the same when you worship Allah? So why are we worshipping Allah on time? We start our fasting on time. We break our fast on time. Then why is it the case that you delay your salat? If you fasted on time, as soon as you heard adhan and fajr, you stopped eating and you stopped everything and you began your fast on time. Why is it that the other obligations you neglect or you delay? Why? Ramadan and fasting 30 days on time is teaching you. This is the taqwa you're supposed to develop, that you begin to worship Allah Azza wa Jal on time, just like you fasted on time. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, now what happens is interesting. Musa alayhi salam, he says, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Allahu Akbar. Musa alayhi salam now is enjoying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him. Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking to Musa alayhi salam. So now Musa alayhi salam, because he's experiencing something unique, something that has never happened to anyone on earth, he wants now to take this relationship with Allah, of him listening to Allah, he wants to take this relationship even further. And now he says to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Rabbi, arini anzur ilayk. He says, Oh Allah, show me yourself, so that I may see you. Allahu Akbar. You know what this is? You know what this is, my brothers in Islam? This is that the believer is never satisfied in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means is that every time you reach a level in where you're feeling sweetness and connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, you're not satisfied. You want more and you want more and you just want more and more and more. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the nourishment of the soul is something that has no limit to it whatsoever. Different to the nourishment of the body. You and I can only eat so much and then we say Alhamdulillah and we cannot eat anymore. However, the nourishment of the soul is something that is endless. So Musa alayhi salam here, after he listens to Allah, Allahu Akbar, he's hearing Allah's words for real. Imagine this kind of level with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he wants to take this to the next level. So he says, Allah, I've heard you now. Now I want to see you. Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. I want to see you, Ya Rabb. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the question is, where have you reached in your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal? Where have you reached in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you reached this point? Have you reached this point like Musa alayhi salam, in where you're able to say, Ya Rabb, I want to see you? Did this question ever cross your mind? Did you ever think of this question? To ask Allah that you want to see Him? Allahu Akbar. And then we surely know that in this worldly life, we will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have you resorted to the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he teaches us in this dua that he used to say, وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. And I ask you, Ya Rabb, that you bless us and you give us the sweetness of allowing us to see you on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. This is a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since the believer knows that he will not see Allah in this life, then he doesn't lose hope altogether in the fact that he will see Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, he makes a dua that, Ya Rabb, let me see you on the day of judgment. Give me this grand prize and this grand gift. And this is exactly what Musa alayhi salam's relationship with Allah is teaching us. That every time you get to a level, don't be satisfied. Keep moving. Move forward. Go another level. Keep going up. Musa alayhi salam heard Allah. That's a great blessing. That's a high level of iman and relationship with Allah. Now he's seeking for something more. He's saying, Allah, now let me see you. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, don't ever be carried away with your worship. Don't ever be carried away with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, that's the beginning of someone's destruction. Don't ever, ever settle down for one level. You worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't get carried away. Don't become arrogant. Seek some more closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. You prayed 4 rak'at, get up and pray some more. You prayed something tonight, get up and pray something tomorrow. You read something of the Quran today, get up and read something tomorrow. You gave a sadaqah today, go and give a sadaqah tomorrow. Don't stop, do not stop in your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. You're supposed to keep going. It's like a highway. Our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is like a highway. You cannot afford to stop on the highway. As a matter of fact, if you do stop on the highway, you become a hazard. You become a hazard. You become something dangerous on the road. You open up yourself to more that you put yourself at risk, being hit by others or by anything. You'll perish. Our relationship with Allah is like we're on a highway. You cannot afford to stop. You need to keep going as fast as you can until you get to the end of the road, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you're still on this path. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. And if you looked at the cases of the prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they had this kind of relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of examples. He gets up at night and he says to Aisha, Ya Aisha, dharini atahabbadu li Rabbi. He says to her, leave me, I want to go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he's this is in the middle of the night, away from the comfort of his bed, away from the comfort of the side of his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, away from the comfort and the relaxation that a person gets in sleep, away from all of that. You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living in the hearts of ours, he's living in our conscience, in our minds, this is where you're going to find your peace. This is where you'll find your rest. You'll find it in a salat at night, more than you'll find it with a person's wife in the bed, or in the bed itself, or in sleep itself. And this was the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah azza wa jal to bless us with such a level. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is true. Believers can reach such a level in their life. They can reach such a level. Yani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in the authentic hadith about the believer's situation in the grave. Listen to this hadith. Al-hadith al-sahih. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَرَرْتُ بِمُوسَى لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِي فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ فِي قَبْرِهِ يُصَلِّي. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the night he traveled from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis, he passed by the grave of Musa alayhi salam. This is hadith sahih, because Musa alayhi salam is buried on the way to Palestine at a place known as Al-Kathib al-Ahmar, where the red sand dunes are. His grave is there somewhere. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I passed by his grave. فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. He was standing in his grave and he was praying. Radiallahu anhu wa alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala nabiyyina wa sallam. Subhanallah. This was Musa alayhi salam. You know, if you think of Musa alayhi salam, most definitely his grave, Musa alayhi salam's grave, is a garden of the gardens of the paradise. Most definitely. And he's left all that and he's standing and praying. Allahu Akbar. What kind of sweetness is Musa alayhi salam experiencing in a salat? That he chose to pray in his grave and leave everything that is in the grave for him of enjoyment. Allahu Akbar. فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. This is the relationship a believer has. And no doubt Musa alayhi salam had this relationship with Allah azza wa jal. We just, a second ago, we said that he had the luxury to hear Allah azza wa jal word for word. And he wanted to see Allah. He's ready to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll speak in these ayat what happened and if Allah azza wa jal actually appeared to Musa alayhi salam or not. But the idea is, where's your relationship with Allah azza wa jal? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks in another hadith about the dead person. When a believer dies, what happens to a believer that dies? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, listen to this carefully. إِذَا دَخَلَ الْمَيِّتُ الْقَبْرِ مثلت الشمس عند غروبها فيجلس يمسح عينيه ويقول دعوني أصلي. Listen to this. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says that when the believer is put in his grave, this is the grave that you and I and all of us will enter one day. That's it, when our lives have ended, when the chance of praying has come to an end, when the chance of opening the mushaf has come to an end, when the chance of walking to the masjid has come to an end, when the chance of saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah has all come to an end and it has shut. Allahu Akbar. And the believer is put in his grave. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مُثِّلَةُ الشَّمْسُ عِنْدَ غُرُوبِهَا. The believer in his grave, fresh, he goes into his grave. And Allah azza wa jal shows him the sun as though it's setting, where there is no sun, but he as though he can see the sun setting. Some of the ulama said that these are the two angels that are coming down in preparation for the questions. مُثِّلَةِ الشَّمْسُ عِنْدَ غُرُوبِهَا. And this implies that this person's life has come to an end, that the sunset of his life has happened. And what's after sunset? Night. And the night time is the grave life. And what's after the night? The day. And the day would be the next life he's going to experience, which is the hereafter. So this believer is put in his grave and he can see the sun as though it's setting. فَيَجْلِسْ. Then he gets up and he sits. وَيَمْسَحُ عَيْنَيْهِ. And he wipes his eyes. Some ulama, some narrations mention he wipes the soil, the dust of his eyes, the dirt from his eyes. And some say he wipes it as though he just woke up. And the angels are prepared to ask him the questions. You know what he says? He says to them, دعوني أصلي. Leave me, I want to pray. Leave me, I want to pray. He assumes that he's still in this worldly life. And that the sun is setting, Salat al-Asr is about to finish. And he says, leave me, do not distract me. I need to pray Salat al-Asr before the sun sets. Allahu Akbar. He's in his grave and he's thinking about his Salat. Allahu Akbar. And this is the case of the believer. Subhanallah. Authentic hadith and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that he wants to pray before the sun sets. He thinks he's still in this worldly life. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, your relationship with the worship in this life is going to keep you company in the grave. Your friends are going to end up going. Your phone is not going to come with you to the grave. Your business and everything you had of contacts and whoever you knew in this worldly life, لا يغني عنهم شيئا. That's not going to help you at all. It's not going to come with you to the grave. The only one thing that is going to keep you company in your grave are your good deeds. Your salat, your Quran, your ibadat, you know, subhanallah, your fasting, your zakat, your sadaqat, the Quran you used to read, the Quran you memorized. All of this is going to keep you company in the grave. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that a person's good deeds would come to him in a form of a human being, into the form of a man. And this person in the grave would say, what is this beautiful smell I smell? And what is this pleasant appearance I see? I see a pleasant appearance and a pleasant smell. Who are you? Your face comes with good news. And this person in the grave would say, Ana amaluka salih. I am your good deeds. My brothers and sisters in Islam, what have you prepared? What have you prepared for the day you fall into your grave? And you're put there and no one sees you ever again. And the next time you open your eyes, it is going to be before the Lord of the worlds. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the idea. This is what we want to get to. We want to get to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the love of worship in this life. We want to be like Musa alayhi salam. He's sitting, he's standing in his grave and he's praying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also in the paradise, he passed by Ibrahim. فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. He's standing and he's praying. وَمَرَرْتُ, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَرَرْتُ بِعِيسَى. فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. And I passed by Isa alayhi salam and he's standing and he's praying. Allahu Akbar. The righteous are standing and praying. After their death, they're still praying. This is the kind of love they had for the salat. And some people, they can't wait until the salat time ends. And the far worse, people don't pray. Allahu Akbar. And these are believers in the grave that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't deprive them of the salat. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that people in this worldly life could experience such a sweetness to salat and to worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deprive them of this worship in their grave. Allahu Akbar. That Allah Azza wa Jal continues for them this worship even in their graves because of the sincerity and honesty and true love they had for this worship. قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let's just discuss a little bit what happens with us. You know, what's happening with us? What's happening with us? Why don't we experience a sweetness in salat? Why don't we experience a sweetness in worship? Why? I get so many messages from my brothers and sisters, wherever they are in the world. How do I increase my iman? How do I taste sweetness in my worship? How come I feel bored when I pray and I do worship? How come I don't feel strong about my hijab? How come I don't feel strong in adhering to Allah's commands? These are the questions that people have. People are struggling. What's the answer? What's something I can share with you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that will give you comfort, that will give you direction, that will give you inspiration? Let me share with you something, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Let me share with you something that will give you guidance as you work towards feeling the sweetness of worship, so that you reach a level, bi-ithnillah, in where you cling onto this worship, it becomes a part of your life, that if you were to leave it out, you will suffer and you will suffocate. People can get to that level in where they can no longer live without worship. Worship would be like food for them. You know how we eat food? We enjoy it, we love it, and we want more and more of it. And people travel around the world to experience different type of food, cultural dishes, traditional foods. Allahu Akbar, look what people do for this dunya. So how can we reach a level in our relationship with worship that we begin to experience this kind of adventure in our worship, this kind of inspiration in our worship, that we're holding on no matter what, that we are tasting sweetness in this no matter what? You know what it is, my brothers and sisters in Islam? Wallahi, it is one word. One word. But before I tell you this word, you need to really, really, really focus and be careful with me, because I want to explain this concept. And once you're able to observe this one word, absorb it and internalize it, and you begin to execute it and you begin to work towards it, bi-ithnillah, wallahi, the end of the road is going to be a kind of sweetness that you will experience with worship like no other. And you will never ever dare to stop in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to me very carefully. The biggest reason for why many don't experience sweetness and comfort in worship is because they haven't exercised patience. That's it. That's the answer. They haven't remained patient. Yeah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, worship requires patience, and not any kind of patience. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be patient, He said, "Fasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusul." Be patient like the five noble messengers were patient. Allah doesn't want any kind of patience. We need to be patient like the messengers. Patience. Patient. When you pray and you say, "I'm not feeling anything." Ya akhi, patient. Stay. Keep praying. Just motivate. Just keep going. Doesn't matter. You say, "Wallahi, I'm not feeling, I'm not experiencing anything when I'm fasting." Ya akhi, be patient. Remain patient on the worship. Sister has her hijab on. I feel like removing it. I find like it's choking me in life. I'm not finding direction. I can't get married. My hijab has stopped my life. Yeah, sister, be patient. Patient with the worship of Allah. This is what our worships require. Patience. The end of the road. Congratulations. It is going to be a road full of treasures and bounties and reward at the end. You'll experience such a sweetness to worship like you have never ever before. You need to be patient, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Wallahi, the only reason for why the believers enter the paradise is because they were patient. For every worship they did, they were patient. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He even says this in the Quran, that when, as the believers enter the paradise, the angels are greeting them. They say to them, "Salamun alaykum bima sabartum." Assalamu alaykum. They say, "Peace be upon you all because of the patience that you observed." Patience. Patience. The believers only entered the paradise because they were patient upon the worship. Making wudu for every salat requires patience. Standing up for every salat and to try to focus and concentrate and perfect it and take your time in it and not rush it requires patience. Reading the Quran as you stutter and as you become tired and your mouth becomes dry requires patience. Keep going. But doesn't Allah deserve it from you? Doesn't Allah deserve it from you? When you read the Quran and you feel like your mouth is dry, and what am I getting out of this? I'm not understanding anything. I'm not connecting with the Quran. I don't want to read anymore. Where's your patience? Where is your patience? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, "Fa'budhu wastabir li'ibadatih." Worship Him and remain patient in your worship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, command, you know, enjoin, encourage your family to pray and be patient upon the salat. Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, be patient. Where? I tell you, this is it. This is why we do not experience any love in our worship. Because very soon, a day or two, and we just give up. That's all. We can't be patient. We're not patient. We pray salat at Taraweeh at home, 4 rak'at maybe, 1 night, 2 nights, 3 nights, and then we give up because we were not patient, you know? Okay, let's address this feeling. But I didn't feel sweetness. I didn't experience happiness and comfort in the worship. Were you worshipping the feelings? Are you worshipping feelings or you're worshipping Allah? What are you worshipping? So every time you have a good feeling in your salat, now you pray. And every time you don't sense any comfort in salat, you leave salat. So that means you are a worshipper of feelings, not a worshipper of Allah. This is why you need to be careful. Our worship is for Allah. Whether we feel and experience sweetness and happiness with our salat, whether we are comfortable with the worship of Allah or we're not, this is a matter of patience. That doesn't matter. Put a one on the side. When you keep worshipping Allah and you remain patient, eventually at the end, you might deserve to have this satisfaction and this comfort in worship. Then Allah Azza wa Jal gives it to you. Many of the Salaf, they used to say, one of them, he would say, كَابَتُ نَفْسِي عِشْرُونَ سَنَةً فِي قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ, that I struggled against myself 20 years and I'm praying the night prayers. 20 years praying night prayers. And he said, I only felt boredom, sleepiness, drowsiness, laziness. This is from the Salaf. He's telling you 20 years. He didn't connect with the night prayer, but he remained patient. Then you know what he said? He said, and I enjoyed it for the next 20 years. The next 20 years, Allah Azza wa Jal seen from him 20 years of honesty. He seen from him 20 years of dedication and commitment. So the next 20 years, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him a sweetness. And he gave him love of this worship, that he became one with this worship. That if a night went by and he didn't pray, he would feel so bad about himself and so discomfortable in his heart and in his mind and in his intellect and everything inside of him. Patience, my brothers and sisters in Islam. There's a beautiful hadith that it describes the believer, that Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he explained, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he explained the situation of the believer and the example of the believer, he said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَالْخَامَةِ مِنَ النَّخْلَةِ, that the believer is like a palm tree. What does that mean? Now the hadith goes on to give an example in terms of how the believer reacts to fitan and challenges in the outside world, like a palm tree, you know, solid in the ground and so on. But the idea of a believer, but the idea of a believer being like a palm tree. You know the palm tree, where's the goodness on it? Where's the sweetness on it? Where's the fruits on it? The fruit and the sweetness and the good part of a palm tree is right up the top. See how a palm tree, how tall it is. The goodness is up the top. In order to get to the goodness, you're supposed to climb this tree. And climbing a palm tree is not an easy job. It is so difficult. Not only that, you're going to get scratched. You're going to get marked and bruised. Your skin is going to cut. You'll bleed. You might break bones if you fall halfway and then try to go back up. Anyway, you're going to struggle to go, and it is so steep, it's straight, and you're climbing this palm tree, and it's a long way to get up. But eventually, when you get up, what happens? There you go. You have the sweetness. Now you can enjoy the fruits. Now when you're up there, you don't want to come down anymore. You're enjoying the sweetness of a date fresh from a tree. And this is the relationship of a believer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the relationship we have with the worships. We need to struggle initially. Initially, you and I need to struggle. You pray your first salat, it's like you going up this palm tree. You will get bruised and scratched, and I can't do this anymore, and I need to come down. I can't. You wear the hijab for the first time after your tawbah. I can't do this anymore. I need to take it off. You fast in first 3-4 days. I can't do this. You pray your salat at Taraweeh, you know, 3-4 nights. I can't do this. I give up. Allah, I can't feel anything. It's making me tight. You read some part of the Qur'an, you memorize some of the Qur'an, and instantly your heart says to you, stop. But my brothers and sisters in Islam, did you realize that you're just at the beginning of the tree? Where's the good? How are you going to experience the sweetness if you didn't even give yourself a chance to reach to the top? You need to be careful. You need to give yourself the chance. You need to be patient with the worship. With every worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, you need to be patient. so that eventually you climb, so that you get to the top of this tree, and then eventually you'll experience the sweetness of the worship, my brothers and sisters in Islam. This is why it is very important that you observe patience in your worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the simple road. That is the simple road to attaining the love of worship, and as a result, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. You need to be patient. For Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Now do you understand that when Musa alayhi salam had the chance to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted to move on with another level with Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him, now I want to see you. Allahu Akbar. And we just explain in a few minutes how this all can be done. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him, لَن تَرَانِي. You will not see me. Allahu Akbar. Al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they discuss in their books, Allahu A'lam, how did Musa remain patient with this word when Allah said to him, you will not see me. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that day of Musa alayhi salam? That night when he finally ended the conversation with Allah and he came down, knowing that he wasn't able to see Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that this is something only reserved for the hereafter. Subhanallah. لَن تَرَانِي. Allah said to him, you will not see me. Now, why you will not see me? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show Musa alayhi salam himself? Listen to this logic that al-ulama rahimahumullah explain. They say that the greatest of blessings is to see Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the greatest of blessings. And it is actually greater than being admitted into the paradise, right? So being in the paradise is a huge blessing. Bigger than that is to see our Creator, to meet our Lord, to see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, which bi-idhnillah, we will have the opportunity on a Friday in the paradise to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every Friday this is the case. And people that see Allah azza wa jal in the paradise are in different levels. Some people see Him once a week. Some people see Him once a day. Some people see Allah twice a day. Well, there is yani ahadith that refer to this matter. But listen to this. Why didn't Allah azza wa jal show Himself to Musa alayhi salam? An ulama said that this worldly life is a life of calamity. It's a life of tests. It's a life of tribulation. It's a life of worship. We're supposed to worship. This is this life. This is what it is. And the hereafter is a life of reward and prizes and gifts. It's like the ceremony day. Think of it like that. Think of this worldly life as being the school and the exams that you're doing. And the paradise is the graduation day, the celebration day, in where awards are given out, people are given now their places in the paradise, and so on. And we see Allah Azza wa Jal, that's all part of the graduation day. طيب. Musa alayhi salam, in this ayah here, Allah tells us that he asked to see Allah Azza wa Jal. And we said that that's the greatest of reward and blessing. So had Musa alayhi salam seen Allah, If Allah Azza wa Jal was to show himself to Musa in this life, then Musa alayhi salam would have experienced the greatest blessing before he entered the paradise. And that cannot be the case, because the greatest blessing is seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, and that can only come after we enter the paradise. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal said to Musa alayhi salam, لَن تَرَانِي. You will not see me. Allahu Akbar. لَن تَرَانِي. So then Allah Azza wa Jal said to Musa, وَلَكِنْ انظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. However, look at the mountain. Allah is telling Musa, look at the mountain. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If the mountain remains where it is, then you will surely see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeared to the mountain, Musa alayhi salam appeared to the mountain. Allah Azza wa Jal appeared to the mountain. One of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said, this is how much from the light of Allah Azza wa Jal appeared to the mountain. This is how much of Allah's light appeared to the mountain. This is how much. When this light of Allah, Nurullah, appeared to the mountain, you know what happened? Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Allah Azza wa Jal turned this mountain into dust. It shattered from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only this much of the nur of Allah, only this much. It shattered, it went. You know, every nuclear bomb and atomic bomb that mankind know, if you were to drop it on the biggest mountain on earth, it won't be enough to turn this mountain into dust and rubble. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light, this much of it was enough to destroy an entire mountain. Allahu Akbar. And if Allah wants to destroy the entire earth with it, He would have done so, subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, He gave command that only this mountain be destroyed. Once it came crashing down, Allah said, وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious. Qatada radiallahu anhu, he says, Musa alayhi salam died. Allahu Akbar, he died. And it went for a while like this. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقْ. When he got up, Musa alayhi salam, after a while he got up. What was the first thing he said? سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ. He declared Allah's perfection. He said, سُبْحَانَكَ يَا رَبْ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ. I make a tawbah to you. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقْ. When he got up. When are you going to wake up, my brothers and sisters in Islam? When are you going to wake up from your heedlessness? When you wake up from your heedlessness, when you realize that this life is about attaching oneself to Allah Azza wa Jal, when you realize that this life is about honoring Allah Azza wa Jal, the first words you're supposed to say, Subhanaka tubtu ilayk. Allahu Akbar, this is Musa alayhi salam on a mountain, a grand event in his life. He just got to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had the opportunity to express his love to Allah by telling him, Ya Rab, let me see you. And then when he fell unconscious, when he got up, the first thing was to praise Allah. He said, Subhanak. You know, when people fall unconscious, what's the first thing they say? You know, they get up and, what happened? Where was I? What? Musa alayhi salam, the first thing on his mind after his unconsciousness was Subhanak. That's how connected he is with Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, Subhanak, Allahu Akbar, praising Allah Azza wa Jal. Tubtu ilayk, and he followed it up with Tubtu ilayk. Tubtu ilayk. Tubtu ilayk, meaning I am repenting too. Now the question is, what is Musa alayhi salam repenting from? What is he repenting from? Yani, he just heard Allah Azza wa Jal. What sin did he do so he can say to Allah, I'm repenting? And ulama rahimahumullah, they said, he's repenting because he asked a question he knew that he wasn't supposed to ask. And that is that he asked Allah, allow me to see you. Now there is, because he knows that in this worldly life, no one will see Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what he's making tawbah from. Yani, can you imagine? Musa alayhi salam knew he should not ask Allah, let me see you. He knew that. Yet he still asked. This implies that when a person is in so much love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Musa alayhi salam, he couldn't control himself anymore. He just asked the question. Rabb, he knows he cannot ask this question, but he just asked it. Maybe there's a chance. Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Let me see you, ya Rabb. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Yani, incredible meanings. Subhanaka tubtu ilayk. Into my brothers and sisters in Islam. When have you gotten up? Get up from your unconsciousness. Get up from your unconsciousness and make tasbih of Allah. Make dhikr of Allah and rush to Allah Azza wa Jal in a tawbah. Tubtu ilayk. And then he said, wa ana awwalul mu'mineen. And I am the first of the believers. What does that mean? Even though there were believers before him, there are prophets that came before him that were believers. The idea he is that I am from the first of those to believe that Allah cannot be seen in this worldly life and He is only seen in the hereafter. And that's a grand event, that when we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal, then He says, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى. Now when he got up from his unconsciousness, Allah Azza wa Jal now is addressing him. Listen to this, we're going to conclude with this ayah. He said to him, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي. He said, يَا مُوسَى, I have selected you, I have chosen you, that you lead the people with my ayat, with my message. You know the word اصْطَفَيْتُكَ, that Allah Azza wa Jal chooses you. What does that mean? How does Allah choose us? اصْطِفَاء comes from the word صَفَاء. It comes from the word purity. When a person is pure, when his heart is pure, when his dealings with Allah Azza wa Jal are pure, Allah Azza wa Jal selects such people. This is what istifa means. This is what istifa means. قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ Allah Azza wa Jal, he said to him, I have chosen you for the purity that's inside of your heart, for your sincerity in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is how Allah chooses. This is how Allah selects from His creation. He selects those who are pure. Then why does He select them, and what does He select them with? Birisalati, with my message, with my ayat, with the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal would select you. With the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you pure. With the Quran, birisalati. Not bi malabisi, with what you're wearing, or what you have of money in the bank account, of what position you have in this worldly life. That's not the case. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِنِّ اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي Allahu Akbar, with my messages, بِرِسَالَاتِي فَالْقُرْآنِ Al-Qur'an is what is going to make us pure. Al-Qur'an is going to be the reason for why Allah Azza wa Jal selects us and chooses us. You know, as a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and selected this ummah upon all the other ummah because of the Qur'an, because of the message of the Qur'an that Allah revealed. Allah Azza wa Jal, then He says to Musa alayhi salam, and Allah is telling us as well, فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ Take what I have given you. فَخُذْ Al-akhdh is to take with full strength and power. Take the message of Allah with power. In other words, adhere to Allah's words with power. Be strong when you worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't be half-half, lazy in the worship, undecided in your worship. That's not a trait and a quality of the believer. فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ Take it. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He described the believers, He said, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ Those who take a good grip of the book, those who hold and take a good grip of Allah Azza wa Jal's message to them. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَخُذْهَا Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ Take what I have given you. See the honor. What I have given you. Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us that we people are honored that Allah is the one who gave us the message and not anyone else. وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ And Allah says to him, and be from among the grateful. Yani, there's a direct relationship between Allah's message and us to be grateful. The biggest thing we're supposed to be grateful for is Allah's message to us. Can you imagine a life without the Quran? Can you imagine a life without guidance? Can you imagine a life without not knowing what to do? Allahu Akbar, wallahi, we'd all be destroyed and doomed. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Musa alayhi salam here, take this book, take my message, which was at-Tawrah for Musa alayhi salam, and you better be grateful. Be grateful, because this book, if you were to adhere by it, it'll take you to the highest levels of the paradise. And for that, you're supposed to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only this, but even before you enter the paradise, this book is going to show you a straight path in this life. It leads you to a successful life. It leads you to contentment and satisfaction and pleasure and comfort in the heart. So be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal for that. When was the last time you thanked Allah Azza wa Jal for the message of the Quran? Aslan, you might ask, how do I thank the Qur'an? Thank the Qur'an by picking up this Qur'an and reading and striving in adhering to its commandments. That's how you show gratitude to the Qur'an. That's how you show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal's word. You know, yani if someone gifted you something and you threw it behind your back, how rude is that? How disturbing is that to the one who gifted you this book? So imagine now the greatest of all books, Al-Qur'an, and most take, put on the side, or go and try to convert it into something to stick on the walls. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the ayat are supposed to be engraved in the hearts before they're engraved on big posters and put up in the walls. Allahu Akbar. This is it, my brothers and sisters in Islam. فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ Thank Allah Azza wa Jal for this word. Especially in this blessed month of Ramadan. Ramadan is an opportunity to reflect over the grand event in which Allah Azza wa Jal gave us this book. Wallahi, without this book, we would have never been guided to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says that the believers, when they enter the paradise, they say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. That the believers would say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah Azza wa Jal guided us to this, which is the paradise. Then they say, وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي, we would have never been guided had Allah Azza wa Jal not guided us to this. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. Have you experienced this meaning in your heart? Have you experienced in your heart that if it wasn't for Allah's guidance for us, we would have never been guided? If it wasn't for Allah's book, we would have never been guided. Thank Allah Azza wa Jal for the message before you thank Him for anything else. Because without this message, nothing else would have been done correctly. Allahu Akbar. Imagine someone trying to pray and just doesn't know what to do. Lakin al-Qur'an came to guide us exactly how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. You know, and we learn from this that we should stop complaining. Musa alayhi salam, in which, you need to understand these words in the context of the life of Musa alayhi salam. What state is Musa alayhi salam in? You know, he had it tough from day one when he was born, thrown in a basket into the river, off to Fir'aun. He was nurtured and raised in Fir'aun's house, so he barely had time. He didn't even have this time to grow up with his brothers, Musa alayhi salam, and his sister. He had a sister as well. She was mentioned in the Quran. He didn't enjoy that family time. This is Musa's upbringing. This is his background. He ended up killing someone by accident. He had to run away from the city of Egypt because the authorities were after him. He ended up in Madian, in some weird place that he had never known before. You know, he went and had to work for an old man for 10 years. 10 years, a prophet of Allah, working, looking after sheep for an old man, just so he can escape Egypt. Then he ends up marrying a woman, one of the daughters of this old man. Then he ends up going back to Fir'aun, and he's scared the way Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا لَا تَخَافْ. This emotion of fear was always in Musa alayhi salam. So if you studied Musa alayhi salam's life and something of his background, you'd find it's very unique. It was very tough. It was a very tough upbringing. His people, the babies of Bani Israel, were killed every second year. His people, Bani Israel, were working like dogs with Fir'aun. Fir'aun made them work like dogs for him. He won't feed them. He won't provide for them. And they are building these pyramids for him and these work. And hundreds are dying every day. And he's torturing and punishing them. And they're in prison that night. They didn't go back to their families. Yani, what kind of life was Musa alayhi salam living in? And yet on top of all this, the last experience of terror as well was when Fir'aun followed Musa alayhi salam. They got to the sea. What's going to happen now? Yet every time Allah would reassure Musa alayhi salam. So then listen. Now on the mountain, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah azza wa jalla is saying, فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. All of this background of Musa alayhi salam, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to him, be thankful, be grateful. The question is, for what? Look at what happened in my life. What am I going to be grateful for? The idea is the message. Don't worry about everything that has happened. You can deal with that. The pains of everything that has happened in your life is going to end the day you die. Whether you like it or not, it'll end. Like in the sweetness of the message and the tranquility you receive from this message is going to remain with you forever and ever, even when you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla and when you're in the paradise. Allahu Akbar. Can you now understand why we're supposed to be grateful for the message of Allah? Doesn't matter what's happened in our life. So many people use what's happened in their life as an excuse to say, that's why I cannot worship Allah. That's why I cannot pray. How many times have you heard it from people? When we were young, our father didn't teach us how to pray. Our parents didn't teach us how to do. Wallahi, I am with you, my brothers and sisters in Islam. A person that had a very good relationship with his parents, and his parents raised him up and nurtured him upon Islamic values and morals and ethics and conduct, He will do much better, bi-ithnillah, in the future than someone who was abused and neglected when they were being brought up by their parents. That's no doubt. But does it mean such a person can never ever reach contentment in his life through the Quran and through his worship? In no way, shape or form it means that. Because look at the cases of the prophets. Look what Musa alayhi salam went through in his childhood, even in his adulthood. Yet look at the end, how grateful he is and how satisfied and content he is with his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at the upbringing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an orphan in Mecca. No father, no mother, not only an orphan, but then he lost his mother. Then he lost his grandfather. Then he lost his uncle, you know. And he lost his children in this life. And what kind of pain he received from Quraysh. Yet he didn't sit down and say, you know what, I can't focus in my worship. I cannot focus in my worship because of 1, 2, 3. Subhanallah. For my brothers and sisters in Islam, kun mina shakirin. Always be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Always understand that it is a shaytan that is going to stand between us and the message of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is a shaytan that's going to stand between us and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remove this kind of evil away from your life with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the words A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. With your efforts, get up, make wudu for every salat and pray on time. Get up and read Quran when it's the time to read Quran. Get up and pray salat al-taraweeh when it's time to pray them. Don't be lazy. All of this bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it's going to work and work and work towards making you a person who is grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Every worship we do is a way in how we prove our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, Allah Azza wa Jal gives such people contentment and satisfaction in their heart. And when you do the worship, do it out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, love. When you worship, you know that Allah loves those who worship Him. So worship in that kind of attitude, with that kind of emotion, with that kind of feeling. You'll connect with the worship much better. Wallahu a'lam. These are some of the ayat that we wanted to share, some inspirations, some wisdoms from these ayat. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all, my brothers and sisters in Islam. We ask Allah azza wa jal to give us the strength to read the Qur'an, to extract and to draw out from the Qur'an the inspiration, the guidance, the wisdom that we need in our life. For anyone who made the Qur'an his company in this worldly life, then bi-ithnillah, it's going to keep him company forever and ever. In this life, in the grave, in the hereafter, when you come out from your grave, in the paradise, before the paradise, on the mizan, when your deeds are being scaled and weighed up, it is going to follow you wherever you go. Allahu Akbar, Al-Quran will be your friend and your companion for life. This is our source, this is our nourishment. Without the Qur'an, we would have never been guided. Without the Qur'an, I wouldn't even be here sharing with you anything. I won't. You will not be able to share anything with anyone. We'd be like zombies on earth living, not knowing what to do. You know? Perfect example. See those that are yet to come to Islam and yet to accept the message of the Qur'an. Just go and see them. What kind of life they're living. You know? What kind of distress they're living in their life. What kind of agony and pain they go through that perhaps you and I don't know about. For this Qur'an cleans the heart, it guides the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most importantly, it allows us to reach that contentment and satisfaction in our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end to accept from us all. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, I will see you this Tuesday bi-ithnillahi ta'ala with some more inspiration from the Qur'an, some random ayat bi-ithnillahi ta'ala that I'll share with you. Wallahu a'lam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.